Chapter 18. Ruskin stared down the length of Lizard Street. One by one, the lights in windows, what windows were still unsmashed by Elvis's ball, went out and people went to bed. Ruskin knew the street so well. He looked at Mr. Lacey's house with its window box full of marigolds. He looked at Dr. Flowers' house, from where came the sound of the hay-fevered doctor sneezing in his sleep. A tissue! 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 He looked at Sparky Walnut's house, where, no doubt, Mrs. Walnut hoped her shop window would not be broken again by a sleepwalking Elvis. He looked at Corky's house, where Corky was tucked up tightly, his windows locked, doors bolted, protecting himself from crindlecracks. He looked at the pub, the Dragon and the Golden Penny, where Mr. and Mrs. Cave smoked endless cigars and Elvis lay in bed, his ball cradled in his arms. And he looked at the school at the other end of the street. The school, with its turrets and railings, was like a gigantic castle against the moonlit, star-filled sky. Ruskin took the medal from his pocket. There was a pin attached to the medal so it could be pinned on the owner. The medal gleamed in the moonlight. The light reflected in Ruskin's eyes and made him feel tired. He closed his eyes for a while. Then he must have fallen asleep, because suddenly he heard a noise and jumped up. At first he thought it was the Crindlecracks. Then he realised it wasn't. Da-boing! Went the noise. It was Elvis's footfall. Ruskin peered down Lizard Street. There, at the other end, Elvis was sleepwalking and bouncing the ball. Even though Elvis was in his pyjamas, he still wore his American footballer helmet, and the shoulders to his pyjamas were padded. The moonlight made Elvis's shadow very long. It ran down the whole length of Lizard Street. Da-boing! Went the ball. It was the only sound in Lizard Street and it echoed from building to building. What a nasty boy you are, thought Ruskin, watching Elvis. You grow three times as big and steal my ball and you smash all our windows. Suddenly the ball struck a bump in the road and bounced off at an angle. The ball hit Mr. Lacey's window. Smash! Went the windows. One by one, the windows of Lizard Street lit up and people struggled out of bed. The first on the street was Mr. Lace. Although he was wearing a long white nightshirt, he still had his scarf around his neck and pencils in his hair. There was a pencil in his mouth as well, confirming the rumour that Mr. Lace sucked a pencil in his sleep like baby suck a dummy. My window! Cried Mr. Lace, waving his hands in the air. Then he looked at the window boxes. A few of the marigolds had been damaged by the ball. My flowers! Mr. Lace cried. My beautiful flowers! Other people were in the street now. Mr. Flick in his emerald green dressing gown with a velvet collar. Mrs. Walnut in an olive green potato-smelling dressing gown. Mr. and Mrs. Cave still smoking the cigars. Dr. Flowers with paper handkerchiefs stuck to his face. They all stood round Mr. Lace and tried to comfort him as he bemoaned the state of his window boxes. It's terrible, said Mr. Flick. Outrageous, said Mrs. Walnut. Disgraceful, said Dr. Flowers. Tush! You're lucky, Mrs. Walnut said. He's broken my shop window 6 times now. And my window 7 times, said Mr. Flick. Ruskin's mum and dad were peering from behind their front door. Keeps breaking our windows too, called Wendy. Shh, said Winston, closing the door. Don't interfere. Mr. Cave put his arms round Elvis and said, look how innocent he is. He doesn't even know what he's doing. My poor little Elvie baby, said Mrs. Cave. Everyone in the street stared at Elvis. Now then, Mr. Cave said, give him his ball back, otherwise he'll be upset in the morning. You wouldn't want that to happen. You know how many windows Elvis smashes when he gets upset? Mr. Lace bit a pencil in half and went inside to get Elvis's ball. It's terrible, sighed Mr. Flick. Outrageous, gasped Mrs. Walnut. Disgraceful, exclaimed Dr. Flowers. Tish! Mr. Lace returned with the ball and gave it to Elvis. As soon as it was in Elvis's hands, he started to bounce it. Da-boing! Mr. and Mrs. Cave led Elvis back to the pub and locked the door. The people of Lizard Street looked at each other in silence for a while. Then they shrugged their shoulders, sighed, and went to bed. All except Mr. Lace, that is. He got a broom and started sweeping the broken glass. Corky came out of his house and helped Mr. Lace sweep the glass into a big bin bag. He's a nuisance, that boy, Mr. Lace said, wiping tears from his eyes. Even in his sleep, he scares us, said Mr. Corky. Once all the glass was swept away, Mr. Lace went into his house and locked the door. Corky stood alone in the street for a while. He glanced up and saw Ruskin sitting in his window. Corky waved his stick in the air. Ruskin waved back. Corky went inside and locked his door. Ruskin sat for a while waiting for Crindlecracks, but gradually weariness overcame him, and he knew he had to go to bed. He changed into his pyjamas, green and white stripes, looked at the golden medal, then closed the window. Good night, Lizard Street, he said. Chapter 19. The next morning in school, rehearsals started on the play, Young Hal Oaktree. Hal Oaktree is the name of the hero. Elvis, holding a plastic sword and shield and clutching his football under his arm, stood in front of the cardboard and chicken wire dragon. Mr. Lace watched from behind the piano. "All right," Mr. Lace said. "Begin your speech, Elvis." Elvis took a deep breath. "Oh, you terrible monster," Elvis began in a voice that, despite being loud and thunderous, was flat and emotionless. You scary thing of the... Elvis had forgotten his lines. "Dark," prompted Mr. Lace. "Dark," Elvis exclaimed. "You scary thing of the dark. You will scare us. No. Elvis had forgotten his lines again. "No more," Mr. Lace prompted. "No more," Elvis exclaimed. "You will scare us no more. I am not... afraid," Mr. Lace prompted. "Afraid," Elvis exclaimed. "I am not afraid. I... Elvis's voice trailed into silence. Mr. Lace came out from behind the piano. "Oh well," he said to Elvis, "you'll be all right once you've learnt the lines, I suppose." Elvis put down his sword and shield and started bouncing the ball. Da-boing, da-boing. "I'm going to be the best actor in the world," Elvis said. "Yes," Mr. Lace said, sucking a pencil. "The whole class thinks that, don't we, class?" Everyone in the class said yes. Everyone except Ruskin, that is.
"Ruskin didn't say yes," Elvis said.
Mr. Lace looked at Ruskin. "Oh, but I'm sure he meant to say yes. Didn't you mean to say yes, Ruskin?"
"No," Ruskin replied. "I didn't."
"You didn't?" Mr. Lace said.
"No," Ruskin said. "I think Elvis is the worst actor I've ever seen. He's just saying the words, but he's not feeling anything. I didn't believe a word of it."
Silence. Mr. Lace scared at Ruskin.
Elvis bounced the ball. Da-boing!
"What's more," Ruskin continued, "he doesn't know how to hold a shield and sword properly."
"Oh dear," Mr. Lace said.
Da-boing!
"And he doesn't know how to breathe properly," Ruskin continued.
"Oh dear," said Mr. Lace.
Elvis was trembling with anger now. Da-boing! Da-boing!
"And he doesn't speak properly," Ruskin said.
The sound of the bouncing ball got louder and louder. Da-boing! Da-boing!
"And he wouldn't know good acting if it wore a taffeta dress and stood on a desk screaming, I'm good acting."
Da-boing!
The ball bounced up to the ceiling, struck a light bulb and went straight through a window. Smash went the window. Elvis pointed at Ruskin and growled.
"You're not going to get away with that, you silly little splinter. I'm going to smash your living room windows, your bathroom windows, your hallway windows. I'm even going to smash the glass in your silly glasses. I'm going to smash so much glass around you, you're not going to be able to walk without crunching."
Now, said Mr. Lace, trying to calm Elvis. "No need to get offensive."
"Shakespeare," Elvis snapped. Tears came into Mr. Lace's eyes.
"Oh, that wondrous name, the bard of all time."
"Shakespeare," said Elvis.
Mr. Lace fell to his knees. "Oh, the joy of thought," he said, wiping tears from his eyes. "The fountains of emotion contained in that single name."
"Shakespeare, Shakespeare, Shakespeare," Elvis continued.
Mr. Lace was lying on his back on the floor now, weeping so much his scarf became soggy with tears.
"I'm going to get my football now," Elvis said, suddenly tired of tormenting Mr. Lace.
And Elvis left the classroom.